This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Baseball Outside the Box. This is the show that interviews baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge, the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Welcome today. Beautiful Sunday. Yes, we're coming to you from a Sunday from our new studio, revamped studio from Chicago, and we're excited about today's show. Want to get going right away. We don't like wasting any time. So let me tell you about Michael Johnstone. He is the director of the Kosovo Initiative. We're taking you all the way to Albania, Kosovo, to tell you about, yes, baseball in Kosovo. Been there a while since 2013. Michael's been working on a project there, developing coaches, players, and parents. Very interesting. Remember what I just said, players, coaches, and parents. Now, listen, he's also an assistant baseball coach, Calvary Chapel, down in California. We'll get into more about his experience as we talk on the show. I think that's better than running through a bunch of resumes. I think it's cool to kind of match it up. So let's welcome right away my buddy, Michael. What's going on, Han? Going good?
Hey, it's good to connect for, part 1A
of our interview. And to our folks on Facebook Live, apologies. Currently, during this, what we call the, coronavirus episode, I'm doing it all. I'm director, executive director, light director, makeup person, everything we can. And unfortunately, had a little technical issues yesterday. We had bad weather here in Chicago, but we got hopefully everything rocking and rolling today. We're going from the start. We're not wasting time. I know some of you may have seen part of it yesterday. But I want to start right away. So, Michael, let's do this. Let's take the folks back 2013, where it all started for you. And I know baseball started a lot longer than that. You could tell them about when you started playing, where you started and all that. Kind of give a background on.
Yeah, so our connection to Kosovo really started in 2013. At that time, I was living in Vienna, Austria, and playing with the Metro Stars Home Runners Club there in Vienna. But I was also teaching at the International Christian School, and we would have ambassadors from different countries come and speak and share about what their country's challenges were. And one week, the Kosovar ambassador came and shared and talked about their population and how young their nation was, both in terms of how long it's existed as a country, but also just in its average population and just the need for things for their youth to do, their desire to be part of the international communities, and some of the challenges that were faced there. And so we were invited down to start planning what a project could be in partnership with the school and the country. But then that turned into an invitation to do a baseball camp. And so we started planning for the first baseball camp that we hosted in the summer of 2014 at a local school. And there was about 200 kids that attended that one. And that was kind of the big bang of the start of that project, because then there was just a desire to see it grow into something more at that point.
You know what, I'll tell you what, that's not an easy initiative. You're talking about getting started. You know, I mean, baseball's just getting rolling. So talk to the folks about what you did at that time. And folks, we're taking you around the world. Yesterday, I'm donning my Italy hat, Italian-American Day here in Chicago, actually at my house. But my Kosovo hat's on the way. It's in the mail. So eventually, I'll be wearing that. We're trying to take you around the world to some of the best baseball people that have developed baseball at the grassroots level and growing. So let's talk about the initiative. You know, I mean, where do you start? Okay, you got this camp going, but now you gotta roll. And we talked about it yesterday a little bit. You got to get these kids excited about the sport. And sometimes when they see something new, yes, they're excited. I remember being in Europe. They get excited about baseball. It's different, man. I get a stick and I get to hit a ball with it, you know, a bat. But at the same time, it can be a little boring depending on the coaches. So how do you keep them excited throughout the whole time and get them to come to the clubs now? And I want you to explain the club system also there too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, prior to our initiative starting, there was an attempt early on to get some softball played. They were, you know, as Kosovo was putting together their proposal to be part of the International Olympic Committee, there were some folks that wanted to get a softball federation going. And so there were a few teams that were playing, but then some of the support for that kind of waned off. They really were only concerned with getting kids playing and not really getting some coaches trained up. So once the main supporters of that left, then it kind of fell apart. But there's been a lot of players from that early development. You know, the real pioneers, the real founders of the game, those guys have been a part of what we've been doing. And so, but as we started to see a desire for baseball to get started in Kosovo, we started to see that there was a real need to establish a federation. Obviously, with funding needs and with competition opportunities, like if you're trying to do those outside the federation, it becomes much harder. And so we started going down that road, and I think we found success because we had a lot of local leaders who were very interested in seeing baseball established as a sport in Kosovo. And there were a few reasons for that. I think Kosovo is very pro-American. They're very grateful for the role that that Americans played in their own independence and liberation in the late 90s. And so there's a lot of people there that their memories are very strong with the role that we played. And so to bring in the American pastime, there's a really cool connection there. And there's many Kosovars that live in the States. And so, you know, even though baseball was virtually unknown, there's a lot of kids that come to our training sessions who will say, almost all of them have a cousin or an uncle that lives in New York or lives in Detroit who's playing baseball. And so they have this connection, a tangential kind of connection to the game that then allows them to have that passion. You know, that's so it's not necessarily at first the game itself. It's really the connection to family, because family connections are so important. And so that has been part of the process is as we look to get kids excited, it's finding those local leaders who we can invest in, the local coaches who desire to do something a little bit different, and they have this interest in learning what the game is.
You know, and interesting enough, you know, now you've got these kids there, and now you've got to set up the clubs. So you've got to partner up with cities. Explain how that works, because I think – and folks, check out Michael Johnstone at – G Baseball Europe at Twitter, at G Baseball Europe. Check them out. You can check them out while you're watching us live on Facebook. Thanks for everybody, USA and around the world, for joining us. Love to have. I see a lot of international guys on right now. And if you got any questions for Michael, just type them in the comment section on Facebook. So tell me, Michael, how's the club system? How did you set that up?
Yeah, well, you know, the club, in order to start a club, you need people, right? And you need leaders. Who are willing to kind of take that first step to kind of in some ways put their reputation on the line, where they're starting something that doesn't have a lot of foundation in the country. And so you know, we at first saw kind of our strategic vision to use baseball as a way to build communities within just a couple of target cities, and as we worked in those, we realized that in order to receive funding and grant money from the WBSC, that we needed to have the federation for that to move through. Mm-hmm. And in order to have the federation in Kosovo, we needed to have a minimum of 5 clubs established. And so that created a bit of a challenge, because that meant we really needed 3 new cities that we didn't really have too many contacts. And that's where having the local coaches involved was so valuable. Because these guys were able to work their networks, start to get their friends excited, start to get family members excited. And then we were also able to use the network of some schools and other organizations that saw this as an opportunity for baseball to be a part of their country's sports makeup. And so, yeah, we just kind of went down that road. Fortunately, we got connected with a guy who had worked in the NGO registration office. And so he really knew the process. And so we've really benefited from having the right people come alongside us, who knew how to fill out the correct paperwork and to get these things done. And so we've seen this grow in a way that we really didn't expect, but really it was because of the Kosovar coaches who saw the vision for baseball in their country and for kids from Kosovo traveling throughout Europe and throughout the world to play this game.
Hey, if you're trying to call in, go on Facebook, Peter Caliendo. We're live with baseballoutsidethebox.com. You know, here's what I love about international baseball. I've been very lucky, as many people are. We see some guys. Coach Percy, one of my mentors. You know, he's a ABC Hall of Famer. He's done a lot of work all over Europe. You know, what I love about it is when they're starting new projects there, especially, you know, in baseball, I'm talking about, especially, you know, they've got the passion. They love the sport, obviously. They've got the work ethics. You know, now they got to build fields, or they got to play on soccer fields, or they got to play on any field they can find, playgrounds, you know. And talk about us here in the U.S. We hope to go back in some ways to that uncomfortable situation that a lot of countries start off in, because, you know, when you play in an uncomfortable situation, you actually become a much better player. I mean, it's proven all over the world. In any sport, anywhere in the world, internationally, it doesn't matter. Some of the top players come from the most uncomfortable situations. So talk about what it took, you know, to put all these people together. Did you start building fields? Where did you start playing? A little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's our biggest challenge. There are no baseball fields in the entire country of Kosovo. That's one of the things we're looking at trying to do. But it's, you know, it's kind of that scene from Field of Dreams where, yeah. You know, they're proposing to plow under their corn so that they can build a baseball field. And that is literally what the conversations are for us. You know, agriculture is a big deal in Kosovo. And so in order to build a field, we're going to have to utilize a field that it has a use in some other way that sees value. You know, these kids have been able to play on a softball field that's on Camp Bonsteel, which is mm-hmm. The military base that's there. And so that's been an opportunity, but obviously it's very difficult to get a group of 30 Kosovar youth onto a military base. But for most of our projects, we have been utilizing, they've got a lot of indoor football facilities, soccer facilities that we're able to use during our winter training sessions that provide enough space to be able to take care of that stuff. But yeah, we try to get onto soccer fields as they're available, but we're also finding some resistance there from the soccer clubs to let these baseball players come in and potentially mess up their field. But the local groups that have tried to get together and played, I mean, they've even found themselves in a public park playing around trees that have been planted there. So you know, these players are really, you know, these guys are really pioneers, man. They've got that little bit of a chip on their shoulder that they want to play this game and they're going to find the place to play it. And so I've really been encouraged by them, especially now as we're in this, you know, in this time and the baseball world is, I feel like, blown up with content right now. Like the amount of Zoom calls that are out there, the amount of, you know, all there's so much content, so many good coaches that are putting stuff out there. And so knowing that we're all kind of in the same situation and being able to at least virtually grow in our knowledge. And so for our Kosovar coaches, they've been able to access a lot of this content as well. And so, you know, hoping that they can really take this time, you know, as you said, it, you know, when we're in a place of discomfort, we find a lot of growth. And so we're really excited about this time frame as we go forward to try to get a team that can compete internationally.
Well, I got to tell you again to everybody in the U.S. and around the world, especially around the world, you're getting started in baseball. You've been doing it for a little while. You can't get the fields and all that. Listen, there's positives to that. One is the goal for the young kids to reach to play on a little bit better field. But two, again, as we said, playing on these fields a lot of times makes you better players. I don't really realize that. Having an old bat, your body's got to figure out, you know, hey, I got to grip this bat. I might have to choke up on it, but the body's going to figure it out. You know, you train different type of baseballs. We talk about that here in the States. We're going to that method of training now. you know, where some countries already have been through that method of training without really wanting it. Now, great minds think alike, and I mean, yourself, Coach Percy even said, you know, that there's great talent. There's great talent in all of Europe, but especially Eastern Europe, I believe. But with this great talent, you've got to get them young, you know, and that's what he was mentioning. If you don't get them young, obviously they're not going to continue. So once you get them, what are you doing to keep them? And I know you got a great coaching initiative, so I want you to mention that.
Yeah, so we've, you know, I'm trying to take everything from all of you who have done this in different places, trying to learn from all of the great coaches that have done this type of development work around the world. And so obviously seeing school-based programs that have happened in so many countries, seeing even, I mean, you were talking about the Canadians yesterday, but just with their rally cap program and mm-hmm. you know, so many of the good programs that are there at the introductory level. And so we've tried to kind of craft our own contextually appropriate school-based program. We've got some local coaches that have been going in for the last couple of years. And, you know, as we've had our conversations with the other coaches in Kosovo, the real challenge is found in reaching the parents. You know, I think we have kids that are interested in the game, kids that want to be a part of it. And even as we've tried to make it as barrier-free as possible with providing equipment and not charging and, you know, all those things, there's still that expectation that this isn't of value enough for our kids to be a part of. And that's really our next challenge, I think, is as I'm working with the local coaches to kind of strategize, how are we going to grow the game, not just from, because if, you know, you could have 300 kids who want to play, but if there's no adults that are willing to step up and coach and umpire and just manage the chaos, then you don't have a program. And so there's a balance there. And that's really what we're trying to work through, what that looks like, especially within the Albanian, Kosovar Albanian culture. Like, how do we value the input of the family? How do we give training to the parents and the grandparents and the uncles? And how do we get them all involved in a way that this really goes from just impacting the youth to really impacting communities and seeing some transformative change relationally with entire communities?
You know, and we're going to jump a little bit because I'm going to take some questions and we'll come back. So we may not progress exactly the way that we want to, but even Coach Frady, Greg Frady, the former national team coach for Germany, who took that program to a whole nother level, the World Baseball Classic manager, you know, he mentions, he asks actually, are you getting to a level of where you have national teams? Because I think you mentioned yesterday something about playing in one of the B pools or one of the pools.
That's one of our next steps. And actually there's a Kosovar Albanian, Benjamin Thachi, who is in the German national team program. He's a pitcher. And the connection to Italy too, we found a number of Kosovar Albanians who are actually playing. We actually have a group of like 10 that are playing in the Florence area.
Wow.
And so we're trying to find that balance of how we can take the expats, the ones who are living throughout Europe, who are either refugees or have just moved on for better economic opportunities, you know, how we can find these young players that can help jumpstart our national team program. Because obviously we know that part of the growth at the younger level will be seeing, for the families as well, we'll be seeing that there is something beyond just playing in school that's available. And with the international connection, especially with the proximity in Europe, that's definitely our next goal. This summer, we actually had a program that we've had to cancel. We were going to kind of do an identification tour, you know, try to just bring out some athletes and kind of put together that first international squad that would be kind of built around the core of these guys who are in other countries. But yeah, that's a hope. Obviously it's, you know, you need some funding in order to make that happen, but you need to have something in play before the government's going to give any sort of money. And so we're just kind of maneuvering through what that might look like. And also trying to figure out how we can kind of pull on to some of the other European federations to see how they can help support, because it's one thing for American teams to come over, and that's kind of been the model for so long, right? But if we can get European coaches to come down into Southeastern Europe, we can get some European players who can come down who really understand the challenges of developing the game in a kind of a fringe country in terms of baseball, that there may be some more impact there that can be had, rather than, you know, kids who have played on beautifully manicured fields their entire life and have access to indoor facilities every day. You know, it's kind of hard to cross that bridge when you're looking at kids that need to find whatever space possible.
Yeah, great information. Love it. And folks, for if you're new to international baseball, not really sure about it, just know that when you're starting a program, you've got to develop it from the grassroots level, but you also have to kind of develop from the top also at the national program, because that's where you can get some funding from your government possibly. And at times you might have to start with foreign players who either were, you know, parents are born or grandparents are born in that country, to kind of mix it up with some of the local players. So that way local players start to learn faster. But then the level of competition's a little higher, but eventually I believe, and I'm sure Michael, you'll agree, eventually you want your players being there at the national level as much as possible. Coach Frady and I talked about that. By the way, check out Coach Frady's podcast. He's on Baseball Outside the Box with us, I believe, three or four episodes ago. So check it out. Outstanding. I mean, just outstanding. You know, interesting, as you talk about the teams, we got, you know, it says here, how many teams in Kosovo at the moment? And probably you come play province games in Bulgaria. And I believe this is from Bulgaria. That's right, the Blues, right? You could play the new team in North Macedonia. So here we are. They're trying to recruit you already. Come play against them. This is what it's all about. The show is hopefully putting international teams together, you know, international federations, everybody. I know they already communicate, but go ahead. Let's talk about that part.
Yeah, I think that Southeastern Europe, you know, traditionally known as the Balkans region, it's that next – that next area of explosive growth for baseball, in my opinion. There's you know, very little baseball being played down there. Obviously, Bulgaria has some really nice facilities, and they've been, you know, they're a few years in advance. Our boys in North Macedonia with the Skopje Sluggers, we have actually, that's one area where we've been able to kind of have some interaction, take some Kosovar coaches down there and work with them. You know, but They're facing a lot of the same challenges as well, field availability and such. But yeah, even spreading into Albania and Montenegro, these countries that have maybe a dozen kids that even know what baseball is. And so this opportunity to share the passion for the game and to really create a new place where the game can flourish. And, you know, where some really good lessons that we learn from the game, you know, just this team dynamic that has so many one-on-one competitions between the pitcher and the batter. Like, all these things are helpful in developing resilient, strong young people who make an impact in their communities.
Hey, God, give a shout out to, I'll tell you what, you know, this is what's great about the show. You really get to see this. And I hope coaches in the world understand this. I think they do. You know, the best coaches in the world are constant learners. They never stop. We got ABCA Hall of Fame coach, Rich Hoffman on watching Facebook, you know, I mean, down in Miami, you know, he's a legend in the game of baseball all over the country. Great, great. He was also on the podcast. We got Sven Henricks, the coach of the Belgium national team. He's done a great job developing that program. I don't want to age myself, but Sven was my first baseman when I was in Belgium. So there's a lot of guys joining. I tell you what, Ray Birmingham, another great college coach in the U.S., unbelievable. Listen, I want to ask you, I remember being in Bulgaria, and I know Coach Percy, if he was on, he'd remind me of this, but that's why I didn't put him on, so he wouldn't talk about the story. But the Bulgarians, I mean, we went to the B pool, right? I just happened to be there for doing a coaching program, and they took me to the B pool. I didn't know anybody, didn't know any players or coaches or anything, and I watched these guys play, and it was incredible. What I loved about them wasn't, they had skills. They could pitch, they could defense, they could hit. It was the mental toughness. It was when they failed, it didn't even phase them. They just kept going. You know, a guy got hit on the hand with the ball, smack, 82 miles an hour, 84 miles an hour. Doctor, sorry, he won't be back tomorrow. Well, he was back tomorrow. We couldn't hit, you know, one team could hit on the field, right? And our team in Bulgaria, that we had to hit in the cage. It wasn't fair, right? Most people would think. We'd be complaining, oh, it's not fair. Well, they didn't care. And what'd they do? They went out and beat that opponent. Are we talking about Kosovo? Are those type of players that you're getting there? Are these kids tough, young kids there mentally?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you figure kids that are within the first generation of playing this game have to be mentally tough because they're being told left and right that this game doesn't belong in our country, right? Or not even that it doesn't belong, but just that, oh, we Kosovars don't play that American game, you know? And so they're, you know, the guys who are involved, who have been involved with us for the last 6 years, they have been told many times that what they're doing is going to fail. And certainly there's been some challenges, but they've powered through, you know, they continue to come out to whatever type of programs we do, or they'll log on, you know, to some of our virtual coach clinics that we're doing right now. And so, yeah, I have a feeling that once we can get these guys, you know, on the field, getting going, playing a game, there's going to be a certain level of mental toughness that although it might not always fit within their baseball IQ because they just don't have quite the experience, I think some of that will be balanced out by their willingness to just deal with failure and to move past those times of failure.
You know, I want to give a shout out to another great coach online. I'm hoping I can get everybody, but there's so many people online. My good friend, I mean, great friend, travel a lot with him internationally, one of the best in Canada and around the world. Andre Lachan says hello, Michael. And, you know, Andre, the women's national team coach, he brought that program to just another level. Of course, the Canadians are way ahead when it comes to international competition development at the grassroots level. As you just talked about, their Rally Cap program, they've got a ton of other programs. I encourage many people to go to the Canadian baseball website, Canada baseball website, and check out their programs. They are leaders when it comes to the development of players, no doubt about it, and development of coaches. And listen, yeah. Now you're online with your coaches, okay? And you're trying to do some initiatives with them. What are we stressing to these coaches in Kosovo to start off with? What's the most important things that you want them to work with the players on and the parents?
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting because there's that balance between being skills focused only but then also focusing on kind of what building the infrastructure of the game looks like in their country. And so again, these coaches are in their own right visionaries for seeing something new happen in their country. And so I'm trying to balance how we talk vision, how we talk infrastructure, you know, how we talk about getting more kids involved, but then also finding times to just teach how to field a ground ball, you know, and I think there's so many great resources out there right now. You know, I think in some ways we're kind of entering that golden age of baseball instruction because you've got people arguing about how to coach, but then you also have great organizations putting out online content that's easily accessible, that's relatively inexpensive, if not free. And so when it comes to the skill development, I think that's one of the easy ways to kind of, you know, pass off to the experts. You know, obviously we can teach skills all day. But if there isn't the structure for them to operate under, then we're kind of missing the boat. And so I've really been encouraging our guys, you know, I share a lot of content that's out there with a lot of great coaches that really know how to teach the game. And then I really work with the coaches of how they're going to implement that. You know, how are they going to then learn from those experts so that they themselves can become the experts within their nation? Because really these guys in Kosovo, you know, they've been involved with baseball for maybe 6 years and they are the experts. They know everything there is to know comparatively in Kosovo about baseball. And so if they are going to help their nation grow, they're the ones that are going to do it. They're the ones that are going to have to learn more and know how to communicate that in Albanian, know how to communicate that way in a culturally appropriate context in a way that really values the strengths of the culture and the country and really hope to grow out of that.
No, Michael, I think a lot of people agree. You do an incredible job. It's wild. I mean, I don't know how you get, you know, I'm sure you need funding. You've got to survive individually. You know, I know it's not easy. I want you to talk a little bit about that, how the funding works and what, you know, how you get paid. I mean, how you, I mean, because you got to get paid to do stuff. I mean, we can't all do it free all the time. And, you know, Andre Lachance agrees, you know, you just do an outstanding job. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, I appreciate that, Andre, the positive words. Andre was quite a huge encouragement, you know, early on talking about some of these things and trying to pick his brain, and especially in terms of the long-term athletic development and how we're going to help impact the entire sports community through baseball. But so it's an honor to be told that we're doing a good job. You know, I am on staff with a Christian missions organization. I'm the sports missions director for Go Send Me Global. And so many of our projects are done, you know, trying to balance that. We're being conscious of the fact that sometimes it's not always received well or even appropriate for us to share our faith. And yet this allows us to build relationships with young people, with their families, as a way to share what our faith is. And so the way we're able to do that is that, you know, our salary as a family, and many of our expenses for the ministry projects are funded through individuals who catch the vision, who are excited about what's going on with this, and they want to be a part of it. So we've got people that donate individually and kind of sustain the work over the course of time. So we've had, you know, so many people who couldn't necessarily go with us, who might not be able to travel to Europe in order to share the game of baseball and to share their faith, but they're able to pay, and so they help, and so that's a big part of how we're able to do the things we do in a way that hopefully, you know, brings some encouragement to other organizations and other groups, and hopefully in a way that isn't off-putting. You know, we like to work with people and not just against them, and so as we build relationships, that's what motivates us. That's what motivates us as a family to kind of walk away from a lot of the comforts and stability that we have here in the States, so that we can do this work. That's, I mean, it could be worse, right? I mean, I'm getting to be with baseball guys almost all the time and be on the baseball field and to share what's important to me. So that's kind of how that ends up operating.
Well, I got to tell you, the love and the passion definitely shows in your face with that smile, man. You really love what you're doing. And again, we all know if you love what you're doing, you'll figure it out. That's enough motivation. You know, you could have all the money in the world, but if you don't enjoy what you're doing, that's not easy. You can still use the money, I'm sure, but it's not easy if you don't love what you're doing. Let's take a question from Joe Guagliano, a good Italian from the Italian American Baseball Foundation. He just was curious the level of coaching the youth baseball in Kosovo. What level, maybe compared to the European level for right now?
Sure. So the school programs that we're using to kind of develop our teams, they're in that I guess the fifth to seventh grade. So you know, really the 12 under, you know, anywhere from 8 years old to 12 years old is where we've got the majority of our kids who are training and playing on a regular basis. But then we've got our core group of coaches that would be more in the seniors age group, that are anywhere from 16 years old to, you know, mid 30s, who are wanting to learn the game, but obviously learning it later in life, and wanting they want to be the ones who then get more kids playing. But right now where we would be able to put together a team, to start traveling would probably be at that U12 for sure, but then also at the senior level.
You'd probably be in the U.S. at a in-house league, I would assume, right? You know, I mean,
yeah, that's really kind of part of the strategy, is that we're looking at building the kind of a school league within the cities, where the schools that we're involved in, they can play against each other, because obviously, you know, travel can be a discouragement, but then those teams would then put together their club teams in the more traditional European sense of how the mm-hmm. club system is set up. So it's almost trying to find a way to blend the American school-based system and the European club-based system in a way that works.
You know, as I travel the world, I talk about this all the time. Look, most baseball coaches, I want to phrase this right, most baseball coaches and even softball around the world are volunteers. The largest group in the world are volunteer baseball coaches. I'll put that up against anybody right now because there are no bigger groups. Even the ABCA has a larger organization, but volunteers are the biggest. And you have a challenge, but then you also have a benefit because one of the benefits you have is a lot of your parents and coaches don't know a lot about the game. It's not like in the U.S. where our parents know a lot, at least they think they know a lot about the game until they get into coaching. Then you realize how much you don't know. And even as you're coaching, you don't know. You're right. Constantly learning. So you have that advantage, but you also have the disadvantage, which is common around the world. You lack enough players. You lack the fields. You lack the equipment, the baseballs, the bats. You lack the ability to organize a practice, or at least right now to at least, you know, run a practice with kids with different levels of ability, and you have to, you know, keep it fun for them. You know, that's not easy. And maybe it's one coach or possibly two if you're lucky. That's a challenge. That's one of the toughest things to do. Give me three coaches. Give me the equipment. Give me some average players. Well, okay, it's easier. But now talk about what it takes on a challenge-wise for coaches that you're at the level there in Kosovo to be able to really keep these kids interested when they're running a practice.
Well, I think that's where the infrastructure side, when we do our trainings, why the focus that we've had with the coaches has been really focused on their philosophy of coaching, why they're doing what they're doing, and then really looking at strengthening their structure, their organization of their practices, giving them, you know, kind of filling up that tool bag of different activities, drills, allowing for creativity for them to develop their own training sessions, and really working through what that looks like. Because I think that's where, a well-organized practice obviously is a lot more fun, even if it doesn't have a lot of bells and whistles. And so trying to really encourage these coaches to think through what that looks like so that they're not just kind of repeating the one or two things that they've seen us do in the past. And that's been a challenge for me too, right? Because when we get to go over to Kosovo, it's for a limited time. And so it's very easy to kind of always go back to the beginning and kind of always go back to the package program that we might be doing that feels comfortable, that we know has impact. But a lot of times those kids are seeing us for maybe the third, fourth, fifth, sixth time. And if we start doing the same things over and over, that comes out of being organized though, because I can't always remember what I did at our third coach's clinic on a trip in the fall of 2017. And so, in order to keep things, but they can, right? Like they remember that they've done that one thing with us. And so, I think keeping that record of what we've been doing, and then always looking to do something that is a new challenge because it's a new drill or a new skill, or just a new way of packaging that skill or drill, I think is really important. So I'm really trying to hammer that in our teaching and our discussions, because really, I think some of the new stuff comes from people who are new, kind of just trying to break in or whatever. And then they start to see a new way to approach a lesson or an activity. And so if we can empower our Kosovar coaches to kind of be at the forefront of developing what that looks like in Kosovo, that could be what maintains the excitement and the desire to come back to the training sessions.
If you're watching on Facebook Live, Baseball Outside the Box, go ahead and type in the comments section any questions you might have for Michael. Michael, the other challenge would be, I would assume that you have, so many practices and then so many games, because you got to balance those. And as science shows us a lot around the world that you've got to practice more than you play, especially at the real younger levels. So how do you balance that with your coaches? And what do you do, like in practice, is it just practice, or are there some, simulated games to mix it up for the kids so that way they're not just practicing? Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, our ratio of practices to traditional games is pretty secure since we really haven't had them play any games yet.
Right. That's right.
So, we've got a, we're healthy there, I guess. But even within, you know, within practice and training, like I've always been, you know, one of the early things I learned was that, you know, as you enter into a new skill or even practicing, it's always good to have, you know, the instruction followed by a very easily and sometimes constrained practice of that new skill. Then you have them come back and kind of expand that a little bit. And then you use the skill in competition. And so, you know, I've always been of the mindset that we have to teach the skill, but not overteach it, to go simply into to practicing and training the skill in a very success likely situation, but then put that into competition immediately. And the Kosovars, I mean, they were all telling me in our last meeting, it's like, we have to compete. Like we, like Albanians are competitors, man. They are going to want to win at everything. And so, which is good on the mental side, I suppose, but so it makes having competition an integral part of how we train very important. But I think we can jump ahead too quickly. Sometimes, you know, I think I'm scared to death of our arm care with our Albanian guys, because they just get out there and they want to show how hard they can throw from like throw one. And so trying to kind of contain the competitive nature and give a little bit of a more healthier structure to how we lead into that. And hopefully then that will then be able to transfer pretty smoothly into the more traditional team versus team competition as we go down the road.
Hey, go ahead and go to on Twitter at G Baseball Europe. Check out Michael's Twitter. Join or tag him and communicate with him through Twitter. We'll put his stuff on the show notes when the audio goes on. Baseball Outside the Box podcast. It will also be on YouTube at Peter Caliendo and Instagram Peter Caliendo. We'll have the show up there just in case you missed it. You caught it late. Michael, what's the challenge when it comes to skills there? You know, throwing, hitting, fielding. Everything's a challenge, obviously. The game of baseball is not easy. But what's the toughest challenges there, the things you have to kind of work on the most when it comes to training?
You know, I think with the way the community is set up with so still relatively few baseball players, it's giving them the freedom in some ways that they can train on their own. You know, once they learn the skill, that they can go practice, that they don't have to practice only within the context of an officially organized, you know, clinic or whatever else. And so that they can go home, they can throw the balls against the wall and see what happens, right? And try to work on ground balls and catching and all that. And partially that's a problem of our own doing. By having our clinics set up the way they've been and by doing a school program, you know, it kind of unintentionally creates that, oh, well, this is where we play baseball and not necessarily at home. So really trying to encourage them that even if it's not perfect, even if it's not how they would want it to be, that practicing the skill is going to be what gets them to that position where they can compete. And I think once our coaches feel more comfortable with that, once our coaches feel more comfortable with the ownership of how they organize practices, and being willing to kind of break through the barriers of facilities and things like that. Because I think a lot of times there's like, well, we don't have access to a field, so we can't train. And so it's trying to help think creatively. And for us as you know, for me and for others who are involved in advising, you know, how do we advise in a creative way? How do we look beyond what we've learned and how we have grown up learning how to play the game? And how do we kind of take it back to just going out in the front yard and throwing a wiffle ball with your buddies and seeing how many strikeouts you can get? You know, that type of mentality is something that we're really trying to instill, but it just takes, you know, that takes time.
Absolutely. And, you know, parents going to have to get involved a little bit, hopefully, if they, you know, want their, if they, especially once the parents see that, oh, my son's or daughter's starting to fail a little bit. What can I do? Well, you know, there you go. You got the hook now. What you can do is maybe just roll them some ground balls. You don't have to know anything about the game. you know, play catch with them, you know, let them, you know, they got an idea what to do. Let them just swing a bat and just throw some, I don't know, bottle caps or whatever you need to, yeah. Right? Here's what's great about baseball, softball coaches, Michael, in the U.S. and around the world. Give you an example. Richard Kania, great friend of ours from the Czech Republic, Czech coach, top coach. He's also the, you know, got, he was one of the coaches on the Israeli team to take them to the Olympics this year for next year's Olympics. Great guy. He says, can I help? I mean, once the travel is safe again, it might be easier from the Czech Republic, you know, just great person. So I think that's great. Thank you, Richard. And don't forget, go to Michael's Twitter page. That's one way you can help is by communicating through Twitter at G Baseball Europe. Let's talk about the parents. And I know it's, you mentioned a three-pronged process, coaches, players, and parents. What's been the response of the parents?
Varied. You know, I think there's parents who see, you know, see the possibilities of what baseball can do. Even the idea of being able to be strengthening their English language skills, that's been helpful. When we lived in Kosovo, we, you know, I was able to meet up with a lot of kids who actually their English teacher let them ditch their English class to go have coffee with me because he figured that was probably better. But little did he know that speaking English with me wasn't probably that helpful.
Yeah. Thank God I wasn't there. I would have rewrote the whole English language for him. No problem.
Yeah. No kidding. But I think, you know, there's that element of it that has been kind of a hook for some parents. But then on the other side, like, I think, you know, when you're in a developing world country and just being able to prepare for a job that might, you know, help your family get out of poverty or whatever. I think when you start talking about baseball, like, why are you going to waste your time on that? You know, that's the, so really being able to cast vision as to how this is beyond the game of baseball. And we know that about, you know, if we talk about transformative coaching and really, really working beyond just the coaching side of the skills or the fundamentals. We're really looking at trying to teach some life skills that help kids as they walk through their life. So how they deal with failure, you know, how they learn a new skill, how they interact with their team members, how they interact with their competition, like all those things that we can learn. And I think if we can better cast that vision for the parents, I think that's going to help with some of the challenges. But you know, we've had baseball gloves burnt by an older brother because he didn't like it. Wow. We've had kids that haven't been able to come to practice because their parents felt that they weren't, you know, that they were wasting their time. And so, you know, those are just kind of regular, sometimes regular challenges that we're going to face when we're working with families. Cause we've all got baggage and families got issues but really, if this is about more than just the game, then those relational things become natural and hopefully start to show that we're concerned more than just whether or not we get into the C pool and whether or not we can get up into the B pool within the next decade. You know, those things will take care of themselves if the parents and the families feel valued and that there is value in this game within their life.
Fantastic. Well said. I'm checking out Twitter. You got a lot of stuff on Twitter and you're always asking for help for different, you know, projects or different information when it comes to skills. So you can share that with all your coaches. I think that's fantastic. Hey, listen, tell us, we're here towards the end here. Tell us, you know, talk about your initiative in Kosovo as it grows. What's your ultimate goal? What would you like to see the big picture? I know you're just starting. I mean, it's not, you know, even though, you know, 2013, but it still takes a long time to develop a different sport in another country. Yeah. What's your wish list? Let's talk about your wish list. What some of the things you wish you could have, you know, there's people out there maybe can help with equipment or things like that. I know there's programs like the WBSC that help with that and others, but give us a wish list to help you grow a little bit more and then maybe your ultimate goal when it comes to all this.
Yeah. My ultimate goal is that my name and Kosovo baseball is forgotten. right? Like that at the end of the day, that we're training and developing coaches so that there's more people in Kosovo that don't know me about and my connection with baseball that do. Because that's really, really the goal, is that if we can train up and empower the local coaches, that's where the real growth is going to be. You know, obviously I'd love to, you know, in a couple of decades to be able to look back and see Kosovo competing in the international stage, right? If they can be competitive at the B pool, and be competing for A pool at some point, that would be obviously a huge dream. You know, we all would love to see the rags to riches stories of seeing athletes come out of Kosovo and signing of an MLB contract and things like that. Obviously those are dreams and desires that we all have, but really at the core of it, I'd love to see the coaches that I'm working with right now, to see them being the ones who are having the impact in their country, to see them be the ones who are leading their team onto the field. And even if it's not perfect, even if it's not always fundamentally sound, seeing that they have the privilege of growing the game in their country. And so as Kosovo starts to compete with other countries, you know, starting to see even, you know, seeing that conversation move from, oh, there's baseball in Kosovo, to, oh yeah, I saw them play a few weeks back. You know, that type of change in how Kosovo is seen. For me personally, you know, our family is looking to move back to Europe next summer. We're going to plan to move back this summer, but obviously with what's been going on, there's been some changes there. But to be able to just come alongside local coaches as we look to move back to Vienna and work with the players there and the coaches there, and there's so many good ball players there in Austria, and they're really on the upward rise, I think, to just be a part of that. And if our passion and desire can help make things happen, then great. And if at the end of the day, all it is hitting some fungos at Spin Autovisa, you know, as they train and practice, then so be it. But part of that too is I will be working as an associate pastor with a local church in Austria. And so being able to balance how we can then come alongside European players to go into other countries. So Richard from the Czech, you're welcome to come with us anytime. Actually, we had Michael, the head coach of the Czech national team. He actually came down and did a coaching program with us. So Czech baseball at some level is already involved in Kosovo. And so it'd be great to have more players who are involved in any of the European federations to come join us. It'd just be great to have Kosovo be a place where it's developed because European federations came together to find ways to help this nation develop.
Absolutely. Love it. Love it. Love it. And after this, I'm sure you're going to get contacted by several people that have watched the show on Facebook and also later on YouTube and the podcast audio part. You know, last thing that I'd like to cover, Michael, you know, you mentioned that there's players that are playing college baseball, you know, that are, that can play for you guys. And I think that's a big benefit. And I would think that's going to help you as far as the young kids when they see, you know, guys like that that are playing college baseball in the States, or even somebody that's born in Kosovo that gets a chance to even go to high school, maybe, you know, in the States all of a sudden. And then the next time college, you know, and then next time possibly all of a sudden the first guy that signs professional baseball. I mean, these are all dreams, but they're also things that if it happens, it could help grow the game a little.
Well, and I think we've seen that happen in so many of the European countries that are in this stage of development. You know, obviously I'm most familiar with Austria, but we were just talking before we went live here, right? Like there's some names of some Austrian players, the Hackle brothers who because of, you know, their connections with you guys have been able to play. And I think they're following in the footsteps of other players, you know, the first generation of guys, Peter Ferrak, who was able to play in college in the States. And I think once those first few guys go over and they play, they start to see that it's possible and they have something to achieve. And, you know, as you go down a few generations, you know, you have these kids who start playing when they're five. So the field leveled a little bit more because you don't have the excuse of starting late. And so, yeah, it could take a generation or two in Kosovo. But I think that the fact that it's happened other places the fact that countries like Austria that are now 40 years into playing the game, and now they're competing in the A pool, and they're beating mm-hmm. some teams that you wouldn't even imagine that they could compete against, you know, 10, 12 years. And so I think that's the being able to be patient in the process, right? We talk about that with our players all the time. And so if we can trust the process of just kind of continuing to set those goals, meet those benchmarks, get a little bit better every time we get together, you know, those things are going to have the long lasting results that we're looking for, but not if we don't trust the process. So.
And I'll tell you what a great way to end it. And I'll tell you this, trust the process. Joe Maddon, Chicago Cubs, just right. pointing up there a little bit. You know, that's a great guy to follow because I think he does a lot of great stuff when it comes to managing and coaches. You know, Coach Percy says, Sammy and Mo Huckle. Like, of course, Coach Percy must have gone and had a drink or something because he missed that part. you just talked about that. So, listen, here's what I love about this. We've had big league managers, coaches, hitting coaches, great people. I mean, I think we've had some great people on the show last few years, but not taken away from those. So I don't mean to, you know, undermine anybody. But when you talk about stories of what we talked about today, this is the heart of baseball. This is what it's really all about, developing it from the grassroots level and then going to another country and putting your efforts and helping kids in those areas to develop a sport. No better story than this. So I want to thank you for being on the show. It's actually an honor for me to have you because, you know, I think it's just a great story and people need to know about it. I know they do know about it, but hopefully our show can get it out even more. And then people will jump to try to help a little bit more here. And just want to thank you, man, for being on the show, especially on a Sunday.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I mean, I was just going to say that I pulled the wool over your eyes because I have no business being in the same lineup as some of the guys that you've had on the show even recently. And so it is an honor to be able to share with your audience and to, you know, I've benefited greatly from listening to your show and to your guests. And so to be part of that is great. And I look forward to seeing how maybe some of the coaches that are listening and watching might be interested in being a part of something that's a little bit unique, at least for right now, and a little bit different than many other opportunities that are around the world. So,
all right, that is Michael Johnstone, founder Kosovo Initiative, high school coach in California, outstanding individual. Just want to thank him. I want to thank everybody for joining. And listen, got everybody in U.S. around the world. This is what's great about these shows because all levels, anywhere in the world, anybody, I don't care who you're talking to, youth coach, t-ball coach, you can learn from everybody as long as you do one thing, and that is ask questions. You'll be surprised how much knowledge is out there. The knowledge is not only in the people's name, it's in the information that they have, and you need to go after everybody and ask them all kinds of questions. So we're thrilled to have Michael on the show. We want to thank everybody in the U.S. and around the world for joining us on Baseball Outside the Box on Facebook. Don't forget, it's going to be on YouTube at Peter Caliendo. It'll also be back on Facebook and all the social media, Twitter, Baseball Out. It'll be on not just Facebook, but also Instagram, Peter Caliendo. This has been an outstanding show. Loved it. I want to thank everybody again. Thank our producer, Brian Kroc from the Lineup Media Group. They're the ones who host it and do a great job hosting it. Check them out. They've got a lot of great shows. And I am your host of the show that loves to interview baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge, the status quo. Pete Caliendo's my name. Baseball Outside the Box is the show. Join us tomorrow, Monday. Hey, by the way, check us out at Baseball Out on Twitter. We've got a lineup Monday through Friday that you're not going to believe who we have Monday through Friday. Check it out. I'll have it up late tonight. Again, thanks, everybody. Have a great Sunday. Stay safe, and God bless you all. Adios.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.